All right, we're back with another great episode of Henny with Kenny featuring Alex Santiago. No more further ado, I know you guys were really enjoying part one, but now let's move on to part two. Here we go.
But one thing I always tell people, I'm like, no matter if you fall down, it's all about getting back up, because if you stay down, people associate you with the floor. And no one wants to be associated with the floor. So that's a very, very important thing that people need to understand. Like, look, like hard times, they're going to happen. They're going to come and go. I mean, that's just life. You know, one of the famous things my mom says that, you know, sometimes shit just happens. You know what I mean? But it's all a matter of just getting back up. And everything has its moment. Everything has its time. So you have to sometimes even give yourself time to grieve and feel bad, but you can't let that take over your whole being. That's something that's just super, super, super important, that you can't let it keep you down forever. You kind of got to keep pushing. And, you know, and it comes in phases. It comes in waves, you know, like happiness and sadness. It comes in waves, but it's all just a matter of finding that wave of happiness, or that I'm going to get off my ass and looking at yourself in the mirror and just like flying with it.
Yep. 100, man. That's exactly where I was. I was like, I gave myself a week to compose myself. And again, a lot of hard conversations with my spouse. And I was like, all right, let's get this fucking work. This time is for yourself, right? Like, that was the big mental health. Like, I always ignored it. I always knew it was something off, right? I think people now around me would say, and knew it was something off. I just chose not to deal with it. So there is a different strength to look at your...
It's also important. Lord Banks just said it's important to surround yourself with individuals that are positive, impactful individuals. Sometimes the company you keep is unknowingly could be your downfall. I totally agree with what Lord Banks is saying right there. In a time when I felt like I was at my lowest, I knew that I had to kind of do a friend diet. And a friend diet is pretty much just cutting off anybody that's not bringing anything positive into your life. And sometimes it's motherfuckers that you've been down with for a minute, but you just have to really, really let it go and figure out ways to kind of operate outside of that circle. If those people aren't bringing anything positive into your life, then you just really need to, you know, kind of cut them out. You need to cut the fat. And that's what I mean by like a friendship diet or a mental diet. Like, the company you keep has a big, big influence on your mental health and everything like that. That's super, 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 super important. And once you cut those people out, like, unfortunately, you can never bring those people back in.
Yeah. I can hear everything you're saying. Man, like, I called it my cleansing, right? Like, I call it my cleansing, but it's something you have to do. You have to assess yourself, your love. Self-love is hard, man. Like, ask anyone in the audience, anyone in their lives to write about themselves, and they're you know, like, it's up there with, you know, speaking public, right? Like, it's that same...
If you could pick a song or a movie that chronicles your life, what would it be?
Holy shit. Oh, man. That's tough. Shit, man. That's a hard one. Honestly, man, like, I connect musically. I'm still doing music. That is tough, because that's actually how I get over things. I write them down. Yeah. I make. I just started playing music again, and that's kind of part of my own self-healing and self-care. That's why I call my music Therapy Thursdays, because that's how I make myself be in the moment, right? Like, that's what I noticed with depression and anxiety. You're constantly battling between the past and the future. And I always wonder why the hell I love cooking so much. And it's because it forces you to be present, right? So for me, I think that musically, anything and everything from Linkin Park, the lyrics from Chester Bennington, who unfortunately took his life and is no longer with us.
Yeah, man. Chester, you know, was the shit, man. Rest in peace.
That one hurt really bad for me, and I've actually written a few songs kind of like in his tribute and in his memory, and I would have to say probably like Paper Cut, like something from kind of like OG Linkin Park. I think that it speaks to kind of like myself, where I'm like, what I always thought it was anger, it was actually anxiety kind of like expressing itself through anger. So I think, like, if you listen to his lyrics, like, everything sounds angry and everything sounds heavy, but it's heavy on the other side. It's actually very emotional, and, mm-hmm. and it's actually someone crying out for help. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me connects, because, you know, the majority of people are hearing heavy guitars and drums, but I'm hearing his story and his voice. And I think that first album, there's a lot of those songs that I connect with, and I would say kind of tells my life story, right? From trauma to, you know, abusive growing up, situations, and kind of coping with it all, and, you know, trying to be happy and comfortable in your own skin, and not understanding that. And like, man, like, honestly, now where I'm at after getting, you know, help from professionals, understanding what, you know, clinical depression actually is, and understanding kind of what's happening inside of my brain,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like a textbook of the emotions that you go through when you live with this.
Yeah.
So,
well, one thing that
would be the one.
One thing that I can definitely say, you know, just in referencing Chester, you could hear the pain in his voice. You know what I mean? And sometimes I feel like we, as much as we were listening to it and loving it, we weren't listening well enough to know that this brother was hurting, like a lot, you know, right. Like a lot, you know. And of course,
everyone sees the surface, right? Everyone sees that he's one of the greatest vocalists. He's famous and he's rich as shit and he can do anything he wants.
Yep.
And people don't understand that when you have that illness, man, there's this one interview, if anybody, like, trigger warning for anyone, like, there's a video online on YouTube where he speaks about depression. Mm-hmm. And he speaks about, you know, you don't want to walk alone in the streets in my head, you know?
Yeah.
And I can totally understand that, man. I understand that, where, like, it's insane because everyone sees the surface, right? And I think that, and that's art, right? Because the art in it, I think that it's what makes you feel good, because you don't feel alone and you don't feel...
Exactly.
You feel like you don't have someone, and then you assume, like, this person went through this, so that was their path, without realizing that was very much their everyday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the struggle, man. Like, I am just finally, you know, I'll be 34 years old next year. Like, I am just now able to speak about my truth and openly not feel ashamed for what I've had. And you know, and unfortunately, we lost them to suicide. We're losing a lot of people to suicide because it's not a conversation. And it's weird because, like, I go back to the things of, like, I don't know if people like you and me just are not afraid of speaking out, but it's the same shit with adversity. It's like, people don't want to talk about this. You're weak if you talk about this. You are, you know, it's frowned upon. It's conversations and matters that you just don't talk out, you know, you keep that at home. And it's like, no, motherfucker. Like, have some self-understanding that, you know, there's a lot more people going through this than you even realize. You're choosing in your own selfish ways to not listen to it because it makes you uncomfortable. So yeah, we lost someone entirely too great in Chester, and I agree with you. I think a lot of people were enjoying and connecting, but not realizing that mm-hmm. was every day.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we connected, but I feel like as men, I'm not even going to talk as men of color, but I will talk as men of color because we're both two men of color. Our feelings is something that's often frowned upon when talking about them. So we kind of push these emotions into like this corner. You know what I mean? And as much as it pains us, we still do that because we have to kind of keep this image of being like, you know, this strong man of color, this provider, you know, this protector, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's no time to feel shit,
yeah.
You know? And it's kind of like we almost have to start anew in this age to kind of tell our young men and women that, you know what, it's okay to feel, you know what I mean? It's okay to fucking cry. It doesn't make you any less manly or any less of a woman to, you know, say, you know what, my feelings are fucking hurt. You know what I mean?
Right. 100%, man. Like, it's hard when you're not allowed to be open about those matters, you know?
Yeah, totally. You know, because the thing is,
here we are, we're fucking talking about it. So again, we're just breaking. We're breaking every norm.
Yeah, I mean, we're breaking norms, but we're also breaking barriers so people can feel comfortable enough to, Lord Banks just said, you know, you got to let it out. But unfortunately, you know, you'll have a bunch of motherfuckers with all this pent up shit and they'll have nowhere to put that energy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's almost like, you know, when there's no resources in our communities for young people to let out that pent up energy. So if they don't have sports, if they don't have music, if they don't have any type of academia to kind of, that's where they feel free. That's where they can feel something. That's when they go the opposite way and do something negative.
Of course, because then you, and 100%, and full circle, and I don't give a shit, like, if anyone doesn't like this, but that too is systematic.
Yep, it is. Oh, it's 100% systematic.
That's what makes me insane. It's designed as such, right? Like, it's designed as such.
Yep. It's totally designed as such. So, I want to, since I just asked you about, like, you know, what kind of music would, like, you know, kind of, like, describe your life, or what kind of movie would describe your life. I kind of want to dig into your background a little bit and find out how, since you left the island when you were 13, right? I want to know, yeah, how do you bring some of that heritage and that culture from there? How do you incorporate that into the work you do right now?
I had 2 years ago in one of the MAPE summits, I do have the one-liner for you. Basically, what I've realized is that I give a shit about diversity because it's all I've ever known.
Yep.
So, explain myself is growing up in Puerto Rico, right? Like, racism is real, right? Like, the islands are incredibly racist, right? There were Spaniards. There's very, very much Spaniard people. There's very much, you know, African. You can tell the pockets in the cities. And then you have everyone else who are just part of the mix, as we call it. So for me, I grew up in this Puerto Rico where all three races were celebrated. I grew up in a space where the pride of being Puerto Rican was the fact that these three completely unlike cultures came, and we owned that shit. Right, mm-hmm. We own it in our food, in our music, in our history, in our exports, in our connection to the United States, but still kind of being ourselves, in our sports, and our artists. So the way that I bring it, and I had the realization of, like, man, you didn't have a chance in hell to do anything else. Like, that's what I always love, and my pride of being Puerto Rican and being a Boricua, it was all around that, right? So I understood that greater shit happens when all this individual backgrounds come together,
mm-hmm.
because I am completely a product of it, right? Where we all understand and learn individually from the Spaniards, from the Taínos, and from the African slaves, we all learn about the individual, you know, what they gave to language, what they gave to food. We understand where all this shit comes from, but then at the end of the day, you have that pride of coming from that. So for me, I realized that my passion in diversity is because it's an extension of my childhood. It's an extension of everything I loved about growing up in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean that just makes absolutely total sense. On the creative side, because I'm pretty sure there may be one or two people that don't really understand what exactly you do. They don't understand, you know, branding and marketing and copy and strategy and all that. What do you think is the biggest misconception people have of what you do?
That one is easy. So no one understands the difference between a writer and a copywriter.
Okay.
That's the number one. That's the number one easiest thing. No one understands it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's it. That's it. That's your answer.
That's it. There's nothing more. No, there's nothing more. So here's the thing. Everyone has a degree, right? Like everyone that comes into this world has a degree. Whether it's marketing, everyone has to. So the way that I used to joke about, like, everyone has a keyboard. Everyone has a pencil, everyone has a pen, everyone has a pad.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, for me, life smacking me in the face. I'm going to give another shout out to my CD Joey when I was interning in Tampa. So Joey sat me down and was straight up in my interview, was kind of going sideways because I had this like pride of like, I just came back from Maine, I was in New York, I was in San Francisco, like, I come from corporate America, have experience and all this shit. And he looked at me and said, up, and he was like, do you know the difference between a writer and a copywriter?
Wow.
And he fucking stumped me. Like, he stumped me because here's the thing. My professors are very vocal about writers write, writers write. So you need to have blogs. You need to have social posts. You need to have print ads. You need to have radio. Like, writers write. You need your portfolio has to just be the written word.
Yep.
And he quickly made me realize that I don't mean shit in the ad industry.
Mm.
That copywriters with a capital C have a whole another layer of conceptualism, of understanding journey, of deciding in time, of deciding with your words, of knowing when to not say a fucking thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's definitely the biggest thing for me, that because everyone has keyboards and pens and pads, everyone thinks that they can write, but I kind of in the back of my head realize, like, but you're not a copywriter. Yes, you're a writer, but you're not a copywriter. You have in your own personal blog. I love it. It's fantastic. It reads well. You understand how to formulate sentences and paragraphs, but you don't know shit about how to sell the ad industry, how to, how to be a brand, how to speak on behalf of the brand, how to get in the minds of the people who need to give a shit about the brand. So that's the biggest thing, so many layers. And then somewhere in the process, realizing that I was really a strategist all along because I could get in that, right? It's almost like method, you know, like acting, right? Like you need to understand
The character.
Who the character is and who your audience is and how I need to speak so that that audience gives a shit and actually wants to buy more tickets from you, right?
Yeah.
So that's definitely like, I struggle with that all the time, but I think that my transition to strategy and why I call myself a creative strategist is because of what digital did. Digital just fucked everything up because now it's not just headlines. Yeah, you need to be able to have a sexy headline. It's not just beautiful conceptual images. It's just the complete, it's a fucking platform. It's a narrative. It's multiple touch points. If you're doing e-commerce, if you're doing CRM, like, there is just so much more that my wife and I call it making in time.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole environment, what I've built, is all about making and creating in time and planning in time. Because again, if business is an infinite game, and you have to be always on, and you have, right, like, we just cannot pull ads and have a billboard and call it a fucking day anymore. That shit doesn't work.
No, that don't work no more.
So it's a new era, man. Like, I definitely feel like I have a book in me from modern copywriting, but
okay,
I gotta get my shit together on the other side first.
Cool. So earlier you mentioned the reason why diversity is so important to you, because that's just basically, you know, what you grew up around because of the very diverse kind of diaspora that Puerto Rico is. And I definitely, you know, saw that on, you know, the few times that I've been there. Why do you think it's so important in the work that you do and in this circle that you live in and that you breathe in right now? Why do you feel like this representation is so important in these circles that you live in right now?
So that is a great question, man. The one word is responsibility. Kind of like how we, you know, you spoke on top of the show. I am down in Florida. I'm not only in Florida, I am in smack middle of Central Florida. And just for those listeners, for context, it's like literally one of Trump's stop, right? Like 10,000 people showed up in 2015, 16. So it's very much working class. It's very much wonderful people who have kind of seen the world pass over them in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly understand rationally why we are where we are, because I've seen it. I've been in Central Florida. I've seen what it feels like. The world has forgotten me because everyone keeps seeing shit from the big cities, and everyone keeps telling themselves, "What about me?"
Yep.
So what happens is that I, understanding that, and being that I am from a coin that is getting shed on the constant and on the regular, I've always felt this responsibility to prove that those assumptions are erroneous, to prove that we're more than what the headlines are saying. So I've always had, you know, like, I was a brown kid that loved rock and roll, right? Mm-hmm. I was very much all about new experiences, right? Like, more people know about my ramen making than my Puerto Rican cooking, right? Like, I just love culture. And somewhere along the way, I just got this bug up my ass that I just wanted to be a good person. I just wanted to be that good example. I wanted to prove to my surroundings that you can have different perspectives and still have a solid conversation, and that you can share perspectives and you can change people's minds. And I don't know, that just stuck with me. And it's weird because when I moved here, like, I didn't want to talk to a damn person. Like, I just wanted to be left alone. I was here to just go to school and go to college. And somewhere along the way, man, like, I saw the goodness in all these people who didn't have a chance. Right, like, I saw people talking the same shit that they talk on the people of color, that, you know, they're talking on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I was super scared of people. They're loving people. They're just trying to work their asses off for their families. They're just trying to do their best to have food in you know, on their table. And so was I. So I just kind of felt like, you know, if I can share the story on both sides, I realize that I'm a connector, right? So in the Malcolm Gladwell world of things, I now understand that my personality is very much a connector. And so it's like almost like this bridge responsible for just, you know, just helping people get new perspectives, helping people see what life can be, helping people understand what other people are coming from, and then purpose. Like,
mm-hmm.
I love lifting people up. Like, I just fundamentally love lifting people because I've been so damn low, right? Like, I've seen and experienced so much shittiness But I'm like, I don't want other people to go through this. You know what I'm saying? Not my kids, not their friends, not their, you know, the parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, like, that's kind of like the world that I've kind of built.
Mm-hmm. So even though that's the world that you have been working on building, right? Because obviously you're building it because there's something missing, right?
Yeah.
How do we fix that? How can those missing pieces be fixed, especially due to the fact that, as we spoke about earlier, this has been a problem that's been going on literally for decades upon decades?
Yeah, man.
Way before us, you know.
Right, before. You know, that's, man, this is tough. Like, you hit the core that is really hard for me, because you hit my biggest fear. And my biggest fear now is that over-communication is also a thing. And I understand the irony of a communications professional saying this shit, right? Like, I understand. My thing is that we were able to move past things when the conversations and the arguments were based out of the same set of facts.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole, like, alternative facts bullshit that has been invented in the past several years. And again, I don't want to hear bullshit. This is not about Trump. This is not about, this has been happening for decades, right? This goes back, like, you know, like, these are tactics that goes back to World War II, to World War I. Like, I want people who listen to this to understand that, right? Like, this is a long time in the making, right? Like, strategies are all about the long game. Mm-hmm. And that's my biggest fear, man. Like, if people don't have, are not holding on to the same set of facts, it's, you know, how in the hell are you going to talk to a flat earther who has their own set of facts, and then I'm sitting here with my set of facts? You literally cannot have a conversation. So that's my biggest fear right now, man. Like, I fear how the hell we move forward when technology can give you the voice from anybody, when fucking AI can make your face. I mean, look what happened to Snapchat. Like, the whole damn world loves their shit, you know, with two stupid filters.
Yep.
So I'm in the kind of space where it's like, it's madness, because I know what can happen when, what if you can make voices and all of a sudden you're someone else, right? What if all of a sudden this technology gets good enough that anyone can be any space?
Yeah.
And some people have done that, right? There's a couple of people, like Jordan Peele did the whole thing where, like, you know, they AI'd his face with Obama's and he has his voice unlocked and he was saying some crazy awful shit, and they were just trying to make a point of, like, this is how easy, and it's 2019. Imagine our kids, right?
Yeah.
Right, like, we both have kids the same age, and, like, it's scary, man. It's scary when people are inventing worlds that are fed by algorithms around them, man. Like, I don't want to get too insane and kooky on this, but it's hard to have a dialogue when everyone has their own set of information, you know?
Yeah. You think, going back just maybe 2 or 3 years, you know, people were worrying about catfishing. This is some other shit.
Oh, yeah, this is on a whole nother crazy level.
You know, so you're worried about being catfished. Motherfucker, you should be worrying about getting, like, whale fished.
No shit. Yeah, man. It's insane. It's definitely going to get harder to move forward. But, I mean, my hope is in people. My hope is in education. And I think, again, the responsibility of, you know, the thing about history is that the right people always end up doing the right things. And I don't know if, like, you know, even within our own anger and our own bullshit of, for every asshole that every asshole cop that, you know, pulled up bullshit in that man's yard, you know, I saw three cops helping, you know, a black man in a truck who ran out of gas in the middle of a big ass road, you know, here in my hometown 2 weekends ago, and, you know, they stopped for traffic, they literally pushed the truck for him and they put him in a safe spot, and And one can always hope, like, there's no video of that shit, right?
No,
like,
no, bruh. It's easier to film the bad shit than it is the good shit. Don't you know?
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I still have a general hope in humanity that the right people will do the right things because there is precedent for it. You know what I'm saying? But with that said, I think that's why the weight of the responsibility then kind of falls on people like you and me.
Mm-hmm. So
we try to teach, we try to influence, and we try to teach and bring upon wisdom and bring upon kind of like not just because we decided to set a fact, but like I love your yin and yang. I'm the same way. All I try to do is seek balance. That's all I try to do, right? So I consider both sides. I try to listen to both sides.
Yep.
Because everyone's perspectives come with their own biases, so I need to understand their biases before I can buy into their perspectives.
Yes, yes.
So it's just kind of like working through all that, man. Like, it's just, for me, it's like, how can I continue building community like you, right? Like, Bennett was some point, like, I felt it right away that you were a special person and your energy and the chemistry there. So it's just a matter of getting people to do the right thing, man, like, and just... You have to be a good person for other people around you to notice that you can be a good person.
Yeah. I mean, that's so very important. So what books are you currently reading right now?
Right now, man, I got like 3 different books going on right now.
Yeah, it's hard to read books when you got kids.
Yeah, books is tough, but I don't have it in front of me. I have... Actually, How to Write a Tech Talk.
Okay,
the
cool.
Book that I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of my professor mentors that I was telling you about, Cody, Kobe, a while back was telling me, you know, I've been planning, like, do I get my master's? Do I, you know, like, I really want to teach in the university level. I really want to do something in education. And he basically said, it was like, you know, write your tech talk, you know? He was like, it was one of those things of like, what does your tech talk look like?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that to me like 3 years ago, and it just kind of stayed in the back of my head. So I actually picked that up not too long ago. And I've been wanting to dive in. But yeah, reading has been hard, especially with all the mental things that are going on. Because anytime that I have downtime, like I'm trying to just make and focus on music and again, and family and whatnot. So, but that's on the dock. Like, that's the one thing that it's in my queue, and it's actually a pretty quick read. So, if anyone who's listening, like, check it out. You know, like, it's one of the greatest platforms of, you know, like, they literally reinvented how you present and how you you know, step away from the PowerPoint nonsense that is taught in school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure. What podcasts are you listening to?
Ooh, podcasts. I got tons of those.
Okay.
It's kind of funny. So I always start with NPR.
Okay.
So Up First. So every morning I start with Up First. I actually try to catch yours every time you go on IG Live. I actually like catching these on the IG.
Okay, so a little bit of Henny with Kenny. For y'all listening, you're listening
Kenny,
to...
It's like, I love seeing the IG because I love it when people are sitting, and maybe we can have a part two where I can maybe want to come down to Florida, or if I can go up to New York. And
no doubt, no doubt, no doubt. Yeah, you can come to my little studio that I.
I love it. I love it. So I definitely see your stuff. I got a really good friend that started a podcast called Diferente.
Okay. Okay.
And yeah, and that one is all about just truly like. Letting passion, you know, lead your life, and she has incredible people from business to life, so she's kind of like still molding that, and I'm helping her with that. So the fight is there.
Okay.
And then Throughline, I invite everyone and their mother to listen to Throughline.
Okay.
That's another NPR one that is super on point. And then when I can, I'm listening to Akimbo.
Okay.
Which is, Akimbo is Seth Godin's newest podcast.
Okay.
And it's really weird and interesting because it's kind of him speaking to himself. But it's kind of neat, you know. He says always look at things really through an interesting lens.
When was the last time you taught somebody something, and what was it?
Oh man, today.
Okay.
Two things today. I was teaching a couple of really talented art directors how to. I was trying to simplify this multi-step. This kind of multi-step environment that they were trying to build, and they were getting stuck between modular solutions and dynamic content.
Wow. Okay.
So I have to break down the full journey, the spaces, the you know, like a lot of the work that I do is kind of like A/B splits.
Yeah.
So whenever you're concepting, and that's what I could say, modern copywriting, like people are just not ready. I don't believe that people coming out of school are ready. You need to concept for a platform because there is just so many possibilities for personalization.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting because I literally, and that's what I call copy UX, because I have to guide them through wireframing, but also how the messaging kind of happened, you know, like the sequence of shit that's happening all the same, at different times. So that was one, you know, spend a good solid 2 hours kind of breaking that down. And then I have another one that's a little more personal, which was really more about just perspective, you know. And it's one of those, you know, I don't know if you ever realize, like, whenever you teach somebody something that you almost kind of talk to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ever happen to you?
I don't know. Like,
I'm like, I wish that I had that wisdom for myself kind of thing, where like you guide someone and you realize like, fuck, like I'm not listening to my own advice.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. So that was the second one where someone was kind of like reminiscing and I kind of had to take that moment of pause and be like, let's not live in the past. Let's go ahead and move forward positively, you know? So, and it's something that I'm like, I say that not because I'm a know-it-all, but because like I am 100% struggle with it. So like, you know, I say it out of empathy and understanding rather than, you know, just being smarter than anyone else.
Yeah, for sure. sorry. My next question ran away from me. So... obviously, you know, the reason why we connected and the reason why, you know, you definitely became cool peeps and everything like that, you know, brothers in the struggle, is because we're both very vocal about the issues that the industry is facing, right?
Yes, sir.
But everyone isn't as vocal as we are. And this is not me throwing shade towards them, because maybe they want to be vocal, but they just don't know how to do it, right? Because as hard as it is to get into the industry, some people may feel that, well, once they get in, that's great, but like they don't want to voice the injustices that are happening, right? They don't want to mention how slow the pipeline is to usher in talented people of color, women and men, right? They're just like, you know what? I'm here. I'm glad I got my spot, even though this sucks. Right. But I don't want to lose what took me, I don't know, 6 or 7 interviews to get, or 6 or 7 interviews across 3 or 4 different shops, right?
Right.
How can those that feel voiceless help out?
Wow, that's such a good question. So let me dissect this in two parts. So the first part is, I think it's solved by how we opened this, and the reason why Act Color for me was so important, and I support it any chance that I can, because everyone, and you said this better than I can ever say, like everyone is so caught up in the hustle of rising up that they don't realize that reaching back is where the real payment comes.
Yeah. 100%.
And that's the first part of that is like everyone is so caught up in their own hump that they don't realize that reaching back out is where it really matters. Is where like I was fortunate to connect with Brian Collins from Collins the design shop, and you know I was basically telling him like, you know, thank you so much. I've been listening to your talks for a long time, and you know, I appreciate you connecting with me. And you know, like I look up to people like you, and he just turned around without fail, like turned around and said, you know, look up to your peers, lift them. You know, look up to the people who are not where you are right now, which is such a brutal reminder. Here is former chief design officer for Ogilvy, right? Own agency, fucking owner, award winning from every single, right? Like, mm-hmm. from Coca-Cola to Vitamin Water, these, you know, Dropbox, like, this fucking guy has led some of the most incredible branding exercises, straight up telling me, like, take care of the little man. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Take care of the little people. And that's the thing, man. It's like, I've realized that in my journey, when I have had access to people like yourself, people mm-hmm. who, you know, the chief global fucking officers are the kindest, most generous people. So again, like, I've seen the goodness, right? I've met a couple of terrible fucking people in the way, and you're always gonna have your a-holes in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
But those people always remind me of that. Remind me to just stay. You know, to give back. So how to be vocal? The second piece is a little bit tougher because, you know, this is a job, and a lot of people understand. Like, I worked so hard to get a job, and I'm too young. I'm too early. This industry has this twisted. You know, the ad industry is like sports, where like you're too young. It's like Zion, right? It's like you're too young to go to the NBA, and mm-hmm. then you turn 30, and like you're too fucking old to be in the NBA.
Yep.
This industry does that shit, man. This industry prides on youth culture, and I think that's what happens. And I think, again, systematically, it's kind of there. Like, you have a whole bunch of the same people running shit.
Yeah.
And then you have this young cats who, like, we all embrace and encourage and bring up. And then, you know, it's like, oh no, you're just a junior. Like, you're here to listen.
Yeah.
You know, and if I got a fucking dollar every time, it's like, you know, I just need you. We're gonna bring you to this room. We're gonna pay you this money. But I just need you to listen.
Yep.
And there's a difference between like, yes, you have to listen. You know, like something that Chris Doe said that stuck with me is show up empty. And the thing is, like, active listening is intended to have an active conversation on the other side.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between listen and converse versus listen and be quiet.
Ah.
And that's the shit where the tables kind of like flip in our industry, because we juice up all this youth, we juice up all these people, no matter where they come from, right? Like, for us is in the world of diversity and inclusion, people of color. But I've seen it in older folks, just young people who are like super talented or just trying to break in. Cause I mentor both NAPERS and also AEF. So
okay,
I have mentored across all cultures,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of the same dance, right? Like, and then when you systematically have like everyone and their mother, like fucking millennials, right? Like, they still call them millennials high schoolers, right? And it's like, yo, like, you're actually just showcasing your ignorance
mm-hmm.
rather than like being a leader. And that's a lot of the shit, man. Like, there's no leadership, man. There's a lot of management, but little leadership. And the way that you're vocal, just to give you a little bit of action, knowing that I understand that it's hard, I understand that it's systems. It's working on yourself. It's finding your personal truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding that when you hear something like you need a personal brand, it's understanding that what that really means is find your fucking truth and tell it.
Yeah.
That's yes. what a personal brand is, because then the people who are willing to listen become your audience, become your champions, become, right? Don't be just a shit-talking machine either, right? Like,
yeah.
you have to understand that it's not about... I'm an influencer. Like, everything, like you said, like yin and yang, everything can go sideways.
Yep.
But I believe that if you just stick to your own truth and accept yourself, first and foremost, then you're going to realize you're going to have a voice. In the words of Steve Jobs, you're hired for your fucking knowledge. Yeah. So if you're hired for a job and they don't want your perspective, then they didn't hire you for you. So I suggest for you to kind of like find that fortitude, look at yourself, find your personal internal narrative, take care of your health, take care of your mind, and just be prepared to say, I belong here. You chose me. Let's go ahead and do this. But understand that you can do it in a professional way. Understand that soft skills are real. And like you said earlier, like, understand that you're walking into someone else's system. It's not your job to break it. It's your job to make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between me. Like, I'm not an agent of change because I'm an agent of change. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm a change champion because I understand that I'm sitting on someone else's ship.
Yep.
I'm just here to make sure the ship don't drown.
Mm-hmm.
And that we keep floating and we keep succeeding, right? So, like, I think that's really hard for young people to understand coming in, that you're part of something bigger, but that you need to be true to yourself before you can start kind of like doing this, you know, this craziness.
100%. I also think that regardless if this is unconscious, which I totally believe is conscious, I believe it's a different set of rules for us. It's a different set of rules, and regardless if people want to accept it or not, there is a different set of rules, because if there wasn't a different set of rules, we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? If everything was above board and nobody was per se like using weighted gloves in this fight, it would be a fair fight, you know what I mean? A question, we're getting a question right now actually from my cousin on live. He's saying, how does / did your approach to your goals change in this industry after meeting some of your industry heroes? I'll take it first while you're thinking of an answer. Actually, because he's actually my cousin. I don't really fucking have industry heroes, man. I have peers, because there are definitely people that I admire that have been doing it longer than I have. I won't mention their names. It's too many to mention. Or really not even that many to mention. I just don't want to single anybody out or forget anybody. But hero is a strong word, you know? And Alex being, you know, a superhero guy, and me definitely being a superhero guy, like, you have to be very careful with who you call hero. That's very important. But I will say that meeting people that I've admired and watched them come up in the game has definitely helped me shape my game, and has helped me also create my own lane, because like Alex said earlier, it's about like just speaking your truth, you know? And I would like to think that everything that I've created in the last span of 8 years has been all about truth. And regardless if it's a documentary I've written, directed, and produced, if it's a program that I've written, directed, and produced, anything that I pretty much written, directed, I produced, all comes from a place of truth. And anyone that has helped me along the way, it's been a part of their truth too. So that's pretty much, I would say, how like my goals have shaped. But to be totally honest with you, like Alex was saying earlier, this shit didn't get real for me, Alex, until 8 years ago. Because before 8 years ago, I was only in this business to make money. That was it. Like I didn't come to work like, oh, I have this purpose. No, I had the purpose just to make money. I had my purpose to kind of be like this technical guru, which, you know, I am by the day. And that was it. Mm-hmm. That was totally it. I was not about making a difference. I didn't care if there was not that many people of color here. Like, it was cool to see people of color here. But other than that, like, I was like, well, there's like a couple of raisins in this big old box of cornflakes. What the fuck ever. But it wasn't honestly like maybe six to nine months after my daughter was born that it clicked that like, wait, what am I doing?
Wow.
And when it clicked, I had already been seeing like these people that I consider really, really great people and inspirations, not necessarily heroes, but definitely inspirations, kind of like doing their thing on the D&I side. And I was, but somewhere deep in the recesses of my cerebellum, I was like, I can do that shit. And I can do it maybe better than some of them, but that's not the goal, to be better, but more just do it differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
build from the shoulders.
Yeah. And yeah, basically like kind of stand, but try to get even higher. And when that happened 8 years ago, like everything just started to make sense. So like, for instance, this week, like mad people have been congratulating me on like, you know, being where, you know, I work for 13 years. But honestly, like it's not the amount of time that has like changed me here. It's the work that I've been able to do. It's the change that I've been able to invoke. It's to make people think and some people to wake the fuck up. That has made this 13 years feel like 13 minutes, because like I always feel like I haven't done enough. You know what I mean? Like I just feel like I haven't done enough. So like, yeah, it's been 13 years, but to me it feels like 13 minutes, because of that 13 minutes, I've only really been living the last 8, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. That makes sense. And I think that's the piece, you know, for me, like, you know, we had, I'm technically in my second career, just happens to be in marketing. We had our kids young, and I think that does change the perspective, and that share, you know, that changes things, and that's a whole nother story with,
mm-hmm.
You know, my son being, you know, a preemie and all of the trials and tribulations that we went through that, but. There is nothing more beautiful than living for someone else, and no one understands that until they become parents.
Yeah, right?
Like that's,
you know,
that's the shit. That's where the real happens. Yeah, I think we're getting into this really beautiful space, man. Like once you realize what it is to live for someone else and just give yourself completely, you realize like, fuck, man. Like I can change people's lives. And. And I you know what it hit me really hard, man, was when I got to the place where I could pick up a phone and something again from Chris Doe, like, a network is not the people who you know. Networks are people who can change your fucking life. Like,
yeah.
That's when, like, networking is not going out for drinks with some bullshit. Networking is, like, meeting the people that can pick up a phone and change your life. And
yeah.
That's the shit that I realized when I had given myself so much. And I spoke my truth where I could pick up a phone for, you know, pick up a phone for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and be like, yo, this person, you need to pick up this person. And like, they don't even go through an interview. They like, they go to lunch and boom. And then you get that incredible, like, oh my fucking God, like I got the job. Like no one can understand how beautiful it is to just do that for somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I encourage all the young people who get to listen to this at any time they're listening to this, that at the end of the day, nothing else, you can be making six figures. It doesn't matter. Being able to affect someone's life like that, being able to give someone's first chance, being able to train someone up to be a leader,
mm-hmm.
brother, man, like, holy shit. I encourage everyone to kind of pursue that shit. Pursue affecting people's lives in a positive manner, and you're going to see what the fuck living is. And as hard of a time as I've had for the past year, and you know a lot of this stuff in the, on the on my personal side, like, that's the shit that keeps me going back in, that I know there's people who still look up to me. I know there's people who, you know, like, when I became a CD for the first time in my organization was, like, I was just happy that I was the first CD from a copywriting perspective, right? Like, that was what my pride was all about. I was like, holy shit, I'm the first copywriter who became a CD in the history of this space. And then that same afternoon, I literally got two Latinos who came up to me like, wow, I have a chance. I have a shot.
Yeah.
You gave me hope. And it was like, holy fuck. And again, I was telling you about that. The anxiety and the responsibility, man, it became bluntly real.
Yeah.
Right? Because I feel it with my children every day, right? Like, my whole job is keeping them alive and well and making sure they're good people.
Yeah.
And being a good husband for my wife. And again, like, being good to everyone.
Yeah.
But, like, when you do that shit for people who, like, become your tribe and people, man, like, bro, like, I remember when I got this phone call from Carlos, one of my fellows, like, you know, I saw this kid go from, like, I don't know how to live home and live a Mexican home household.
Yeah.
And the expectation of the man in this home, you know, like, what the hell is a personal brand and how do I, you know, like, connect and all this shit. Like, bro, like, when I got that, he literally called me, like, Apple just offered me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm moving to California, and I was like, holy yes. You know, the global creative officer of McCann at the time, Kirk, gave me one of the most just wonderful kind of molds and shoes to fill. You know what I mean? Like, and I've never been in that agency, you know, chief creative officer or global anything, but he was such an incredible human being. He was such an incredible example of what being humble was, and not confusing confidence, humbleness, and not confusing ego. And like, it was a really great example.
Yeah.
Who I look up to all the time. Is Lauren Cramsey up in Ogilvy. She was just announced as president of the New York office. Like, I have been following her trajectory for so long, and it's just the beautiful nature of, like, this incredibly, insanely smart, you know, female just kicking ass every step of the way, you know, loyal to an agency, living their culture, seeing her, you know, become a mom, become, like, and that's the cool thing that social media does, where, like, people who understand their role and understand, like, that they have a story to offer.
Yeah.
And then for people like me, who I'm like, I am so just impressed by their openness and their politeness and their, you know, and I think I met her in an Ad Color event. It was kind of like a hello, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't anything too intense. And to be honest with you, I told you it was the honor. Like, you know, like, when Ben introduced me to you and told me all about you, I was like, holy shit, like, you know, here you have someone. Like, I think grind is the thing. Like, you were real as fuck. Like, you were like, I'm doing this. Like, I know there's a lot of work to do, but I'm doing it. And everything that you've done for me, I'm like, just blessed to even be on a conversation with you, man. Like, so, yeah,
mutual,
I'm
brother.
I think that heroes is loaded and over, you know, overused in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of people who I truly admire.
Yeah.
Who haven't let me down.
Yeah, you hero. Know what I mean? Like, hero is truly a loaded word. You know what I mean? And just like, I mean, because like, it's so loaded. Like, I would never want anyone to consider me their hero. You know. If you know, they want to be inspired or, you know, whatever, that's fine. But hero, that's a lot. You know, that's a whole lot. I mean, my daughter can call me a hero because, you know, I've saved her from falling down a moving escalator before. but I mean, that's as far as, you know, I could closely be resembled to anything as a hero. But before we get off this call, because what was the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Oh, shit. I will pull it up if you allow me.
Yeah.
If you allow me. I would say that my conversations with Mark.
Okay.
He took his time. You know, it's one of those things, man. Like, I have a lot of great sagey moments with family. I spoke a little about my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, man, like, he gave me what I consider, like, next chapter in life type of just foundational platform advice.
Mm-hmm.
So I was literally taking notes like a lunatic when he was speaking because, like, one, I heard shit and perspectives that I had never even really understood. And in hindsight, now it's like, wow, like, it's incredible what you don't see when you're blinded to your own bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, it's incredible what, but,
Well, there's a reason why bullshit and the word blinders both start with the letter B, you know?
Yeah, like, 100%, and so he said, so I got a couple of things, and anyone who listens to this, like, I want to give this right back to you. This conversation happened in January. I actually just blogged about the work that he did for me, and I cannot stress how blessed I am to have people like him, you know, and on my corner. He said, never feel like a burden. Because not reaching out is actually what makes you become a burden. That was so powerful because for me was like not speaking out, basically like being humble translated to not speaking out. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what like for me be humble because in Puerto Rico that's a huge thing like stay humble you know
yeah.
humildad because again we all come from fucking like small barrios like small towns like you know like never get a big head so that's just embedded in my existence but then he was like stop feeling bad for asking for help the weakness is not reaching out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, holy fuck. And to be honest with you, Kenny, I reached out to you because of him.
Yeah.
I reached out to you because, like, I would have been horrified to reach out to anyone to ask for help. Like, I would have.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because all of that basically came back into this, like, very honest conversation about with my son, my 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was essentially, my version of it's like, no one gives a shit about you until you give a shit about yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that is like, no one, and that goes from, again, from people of color, from family, from like, and that's because everyone is just struggling to try to live their own fucking lives.
Yep.
And it's not that they don't care, or it might be that they're assholes and they don't care, but the majority of people are just trying to stay on their lane, trying to live their best life.
Yeah.
And that's why tribe is important, having, like you said, like, cleansing your friends and truly looking at who your real friends are and who bring energy that make you better, right? And I don't say friends, like, who we're going to kick it with. It's like, who fucking make you better? Who push you to be a better human being, to seek and want more without being a greedball, right? Like, so all of that culmination, man, like he gave me that, and that kind of ultimate thing was when we opened this whole thing, which was like, you make a difference by being there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that shit, man, like, that piece of advice, it, like, unlocked just 14 layers deep into my brain. I always understood the pressure. I never understood why.
Yeah.
And that is the why. And I have to give him all the love and respect because, like, those words just completely cut through me, you know? And now I'm on the other side, right? I'm rebuilding myself.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to come out of this chaos that has been the last year of finding out about my different conditions and my illnesses and you know, getting older and finding out every potential way that I'm gonna die, and like it's been a very emotional roller coaster. But that moment for me, now I'm like trying to accept those words, trying to process those words, and building a better version of myself.
Well, you know, I think that's a great place to kind of to put a pin in this is, you know, building the best version of yourself. And unfortunately, to do that, you have to go through the brimstone and the fire. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just doesn't come for most of us. Like, you have to go through some shit. You know what I mean? And and sometimes people just don't understand that. And you know, because it's not like it's something you wear on your sleeve, or it's not like, you know, writing on a T-shirt. You know what I mean? It's all internal.
Yeah, there's no direction. It's like parenting. There's no book, man. There's no book. There's no brand book for this shit.
There's no book. There's absolutely no book. I mean, I think another good piece of advice that he told you, I'm just going to paraphrase it, but it's like, you know, the dumb question is the one you don't ask.
Exactly.
You know?
Amen to that shit.
You know, and sometimes I feel like people worry too much about the questions that, you know, they want to ask, you know, but it's also important to, because some questions people ask are fucking stupid, but not all of them. But you know what? You have to kind of put it out there, and you have to put yourself out there. And you know, I know we've mentioned Bennett like a bunch of times during this call, but one of the things that I admire about him the most is that, you know what, he puts himself out there. He's fucking 6'7", 6'8", you know? He's like, you're not gonna miss me. I'm fucking 6'7", 6'8", black dude. You're just not gonna miss me. So,
that's right.
Like, you know, he's gonna put himself out there, and I mean, yeah, he's a humble giant. We all know that. But, you know, right. I think the world needs more humble giants. But you don't have to be 6'7" or 6 foot
right.
or even 5 foot to be a humble giant. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's all about having humility about your shit.
Yes, sir.
That's all it's about.
And that's why I'm grateful. And that's why I'm so grateful to be invited. And that's why I said it was an honor, because you know, you could have gotten anybody else, and you're giving me a chance to kind of share my story and to be open with you and keep mm-hmm. it real.
Nah, man. And well, that's what Henny with Kenny is about. That's why we sip on this yak or whatever you're sipping over there. And, you know, we get this shit out. So before we go, I just want you to give everyone, like, your social handles, how they can find you. And all this will be listed in, you know, the description of the podcast when it comes out. I mean, yeah, we're doing this live, but you all will be able to listen to this in a couple weeks. So, yeah, just give them the social media handles.
Yeah, so I am. So my social handle is SOSAIC. So SAIC. So it's basically social mosaic compounded together.
Mm-hmm.
It's Osaic everywhere. So you can go every platform, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm pretty active in all of them.
Yes, he is.
I'm always up for a good conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. And all of you know how to pretty much find me. If you listen to this, obviously you know how to find me. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Kenny Thacker, KennyThacker.com. You know, whatever, createtv.com. You know, that's all the stuff where you can find me. You know, I'd just like to thank you, Alex, for definitely taking these last, I think we're up to 2 hours and close to 17 minutes of your time. to like share your truth with me and chop it up. Can't wait till you come back to New York so we can chop it up some more. And you're always welcome back to, you know, Henny with Kenny. So, you know, we can chop it up and, you know, hopefully some of you gained a little bit out of this last 2 hours, because maybe you didn't gain something out of the entire 2 hours, but maybe, you know, there's different blocks of just great shit. So hopefully, you know,
different chapters.
There's a lot of chapters to this episode, and it's probably definitely going to be a two episode podcast. So you're going to listen to one and then next week listen to the other half. But I can't thank you enough, Alex, for definitely making the time and kind of rolling with the punches with all the technical glitches and everything like that. Your time is definitely valued, and your words have been felt and heard and, you know, ingested, you know. So
I'm so grateful, sir.
So I truly appreciate you and appreciate, you know, you making the time. That's how we do, y'all, on Henny with Kenny. For those that are still watching, I will be back tomorrow, same time, same Instagram channel, with Imani White Heard. She's going to drop you all some great shit that she's doing for women of color out here in these streets. And it's going to be a great time. So, Brother Alex, I thank you. Cannot thank you enough. God bless you and your beautiful family.
Blessing, guys. Thank you so much.
And happy birthday to Biggie Smalls. Rest in peace, Brooklyn's finest. As you all can see by the T-shirt, he's on a game of microphones. T-shirt designed by Medina. Shout out to Medina out there in London, my bloke out in London, for designing this T-shirt. It's super dope. You guys can find him at Medina, I think, on Twitter and Instagram. But definitely rest in paradise and in peace. Christopher Wallace, Frank White, Biggie Smalls, Big Papa, whatever you want to call him. You know, like today's a happy day, but a sad day too, because, you know, we miss Big, and, you know, we're gonna continue spreading love the Brooklyn way on Henny with Kenny, because that's all we know how to do. So on that note, salute, sir. Thank you, Brother Alex, and I'll talk to you soon. And for y'all watching with Kenny, catch y'all tomorrow night. Two of these. Spread love. Give love. Show love all day. Peace.